And handle the truth.
Listening to Thursday evening, and this, of course, is Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whelan, and glad that you're here with us tonight. It is, of course, our brand new show, our first week in, and I think I'm kind of getting used to it, actually. I don't know if that's possible, but I think that I am. I've done mornings for so long, for so many years, that this whole idea of actually sleeping more than 2 hours at a stretch, and that's the absolute truth. I mean, at night I would pretty much go to bed around, midnight, somewhere, sometimes a little bit later, and get up around 2 o'clock to do, get ready for the mornings. But, you know, a 4-hour talk show takes a pretty good amount of preparation. I think I've over-prepared this week, just in anticipation, sort of anxiety, nervousness maybe about shifting times, even though it's the same network, you know, same show, different audience, and different setup, if only because most of the guests, I think, would like to actually sleep at night. And who can blame them for that? But we have a very fun program lined up for you here today. Glenn Parnum is going to be our guest. He'll be joining us in about an hour from now. He is the guy behind a place called International Health, and they do some fantastic things. And Glenn is so well-versed on so many different things as far as the way the world is set up and what it's angling towards it. I think it'll be a lot of fun to have him here with us on the program. So be aware of a couple things. Of course, our phone number, if you'd like to chime in with your thoughts here in this first hour or anytime during the interview, feel free to do so. Our phone number is 800-313-9443, toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Our website is www.franklyspeakingradio.com. Lots of information there, courtesy of Webmaster James and all of his hard work. We certainly appreciate him and everything that he does to make this thing possible. The guy is an absolute blessing to me. Now, I don't believe that our guest will be there this evening unless he happens to be up very, very late and at a computer where he can access all the information and upload it. I did not get a chance to email him the guest list for tonight, if only because we've been having some severe internet problems and a lot of, you know, technical problems, as, you know, kind of goes with the territory here on this end anyway. But it's all sorted out as far as Glenn being here. So make sure you have a pen and a paper handy, because Glenn will undoubtedly give you his phone number. He'll also give you his website and a lot of really important and cutting-edge information, things you need to prepare yourself for all the things that are going on as we speak here in the world and certainly here in America. Health is always, like I said, a big passion of mine. I firmly believe that there's nothing out there that can't be cured, that there's nothing out there that has not a solution to it, and Glenn has some fantastic information, and his, I firmly believe that a lot of the products and whatnot that Glenn has advised me on have absolutely kept me from being sick. I haven't been sick in almost 3 years now. That is amazing to me, because the shift that I worked and the very little sleep that I got and the high amount of stress that just kind of goes with the territory, you know, at least every month. And there was, I went through a 3-month stretch where I think I had a severe cold, and then it was a severe flu, and then turned into pneumonia, and I actually had to go to the hospital for that one. And I am not a pleasant person to be around when I'm sick, so needless to say, me being pleasant for like 3 years has got to be a great thing for the family. I'm sure they appreciate it. I know my coworkers do, because they tell me all the time. They say, you know what, you used to be such an ass, but now we can tolerate you a lot more. So I'm excited about that. So hopefully Glenn can point you in some directions, maybe help you take care of some things, and we can take some calls with any sort of health-related questions you may have for the man. But until then, we've got plenty of news, and we're going to dive into some of it. Maybe some of it you've heard already. Of course, I like to, of course, give you my take on different things. And, what can I say? Some of it I can pretty much promise you've not heard before. Stay with us. We'll be back. More Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes. Please stay with us.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Good morning.
Slap myself.
Good evening. And welcome to Frankly Speaking Radio Thursday night. In fact, that would be January 11th, 2007, about 9 minutes after 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Brand new breaking news. Apparently, an explosion has occurred inside the U.S. Embassy compound in Athens, Greece. And it's brand new. We don't have really any information on it. CNN and Fox are both reporting on it, but not really going into too much detail, indicating to me that they don't really have any at this moment. So you may find something, you may not. I will try to stay on the ball here during the breaks and see if I can find some information, things to watch out for, because certainly we have to pay close attention to anything that can develop in these times, and there is quite a bit of developments. A couple of intriguing stories here. This first one, I'm sure most of you have heard this. Canadian Press came out yesterday, and it says, they say money talks, and a new report suggests the Canadian currency is indeed chatting, at least electronically, on behalf of shadowy spies. Coins containing tiny transmitters that mysteriously turned up in the pockets of at least three American contractors who visited Canada, said a branch of the U.S. Defense Department. Security experts believe the devices could be used to track the movements of defense industry personnel dealing in military technology. Said David Harris, a former CSIS officer who consults on security matters, he said, quote, "You might want to know where the individual is going, what meetings the individual might be having, and above all, with whom," end quote. This is interesting to me on so many levels. It says, according to a report from the U.S. Defense Security Service, quote, "On at least three separate occasions between October of 2005 and January of 2006, cleared defense contractors' employees traveling through Canada have discovered radio frequency transmitters embedded in Canadian coins placed on their persons," end quote. And that's interesting. I don't know how you would determine that if it was inside a coin, unless it was moderately able to be seen at some level. A service spokeswoman said details of the incidents were classified. The type of transmitter in play and its ultimate purpose remain a mystery. However, tiny tracking tags known as RFIDs are commonly placed in everything from clothing to keychains to help retailers track inventory. Each tag contains a miniature antennae that beams a unique identification code to an electronic reader. That information can then be transferred by the reader into a computerized database. Now, see, this is interesting because I am located, and for those who don't know, here in northwest Arkansas. Walmart kind of kicked the RFID industry into high gear by demanding that their suppliers, all of their vendors, embed RFID technology into all the tracking. Now, this would supposedly simply be a good thing, simply streamline the whole process. Well, various RFID tests have been done since then, and this was, I think we started talking about it back in 2002, maybe 2001. Anyway, a lot of my listeners are employees of Walmart because Walmart is in this area, and Walmart, of course, you know, not really happy with the amount of information that was given to me, leaked out and stamped classified, and we, of course, went to the airwaves with it. It's very, very important information. And Walmart actually, from what I understand, sent out an email to their employees forbidding them to listen to this program. So, apparently there was a little more truth maybe than they wanted. But anyway, what's intriguing about this, the RFID thing, is that supposedly it's simply used for inventory purposes. Now, that should be moderately distressing enough to people. Simply put, the more you automate things, the more you streamline things, the less jobs are available, quite simply. So at the Walmart and other retail outlets, presumably, because once Walmart makes a demand, pretty much everybody else kind of falls into line. And I have a feeling that that was done on the behest of the Defense Department at some level, because obviously RFID technology is the wave of the future in their minds, and we're going to see a lot more of it, and obviously for purposes like this, tracking individuals, putting it in money. It's not the first time we've heard about this. RFID technology supposedly was in the new U.S. bills. I don't know if it actually was or if it was not. I heard rumors, but I have not found any in mine. And supposedly, the new EU currency would also have RFID chips embedded in them. So we'll have to wait and see if those bear out. But this is a case where you actually did see some sort of tracking device, perhaps RFID in nature, inside these coins. Obviously, that's moderately distressing to a lot of people. Here's a little tidbit that maybe you don't know. I was in a clothing store the other day, and it's months ago. It was before it was supposed to be cold. And in this clothing store, they sell clothes, strangely enough. I was at the register paying for something, and somebody had walked into the store. Okay, and they had the little sensor set up, the little gates that you walk through right outside the door. So a gal walks in, and the alarm goes off. Anyway, you know, we've heard that before, no big deal. The gal behind the register, who worked at this clothing store, she yelled to the lady, "Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. You probably have an RFID tag on your clothing." And I said to her, I said, "Well, that's a little weird, isn't it? Aren't those things supposed to be deactivated at the register? That's what they told us for privacy purposes, right? I mean, we've all heard that, right?" And she said, "Oh, they are deactivated at the register." She said, "But if you don't cut them out of your clothing, they reactivate." Very interesting, I thought. I don't know how that's possible, but apparently this deactivation is simply like a computer, I guess. You'd be putting it to sleep for a short period of time, at least enough to get out of the store. But then they do reactivate. So, folks, if you do have those, you can be tracked. Now, they say that they can only do it over a limited amount of space. You know, hey, these things will only read up to, 3 feet. things like that. But it stands to reason that that they could be read. Ideally, given the fact they've been working on this nonstop for several years now, that these things could be far more advanced than we know. And that wouldn't surprise me at all. Whenever we hear about something, odds are in the secret halls of DARPA and the Pentagon, this whatever technology we're referring to is always probably, I've heard a good rule of thumb is to say 3 decades further along. Now, that's pretty substantial, obviously, in this day and age, when a computer will be outdated and outmoded within a year. But getting back to this whole thing, and we have seen, by the way, the RFID readers sort of being able to read up to, sometimes up to 30 to 80 feet. So this idea that it needs to be within close proximity to the RFID chip is well, that's bunk, honestly. So the story goes on. The likely need for such a reading device means that doctored coins could be used to track people only in a controlled setting, not over long distances, said Chris Mathers, a security consultant and former undercover RCMP officer. He said, quote, from a technology perspective, it makes no sense. To me, it's very strange. So what he's saying here is that this person could, you know, when they lose the coin, they buy something, and then the coin can't be tracked anymore. So it stands to reason that whomever, if they're trying to track someone, they're not going to waste all the time and effort in basically forging a coin or whatever with a chip inside. Because it would obviously have to be a forgery, at least doctored in some fashion, maybe a hole drilled in it and whatnot. So you'd have to do something to this currency. You're not going to waste all that time and effort if you can only track somebody for, you know, 2 feet. So there has to be more to that. And maybe it wasn't an RFID chip. I don't know. But it's very interesting. Anyway, Harris, that's the security expert we referred to earlier in the story, he speculates that recent leaps in miniaturization could allow for a sophisticated transmitter capable of monitoring a target's extensive travels. He said, quote, I think we can be pretty darn confident that the technology is there for the sorts of micro units that would be required to embed these things in a coin. It is a brave new world and greatly concerning on so many levels, end quote. Passing the coin to an unwitting contractor, particularly in strife-torn countries, could mark the person for kidnapping or assassination, said Harris. Ah, yes, implying that you wouldn't really need to track someone for too long. Now, here's a bizarre scenario. RFID chips typically are passive. They don't transmit necessarily unless, you know, a signal is beamed to them and they bounce back with information. That's how I understand it. I could be completely wrong. But the very fact that they operate on radio frequencies, and HARP obviously operates on frequencies, it would stand to reason that, you know, you could maybe use that in some sort of tracking thing. The other thing that's very possible, I talked to a brilliant, brilliant person a few years ago, maybe not even that long, and he had sort of given me the lowdown on RFID chips, that they can be scrambled, and he also told me about the GPS systems and phones, that they don't really use the satellites per se, although they can, but what they do is use the cellular towers to triangulate a signal from a cell phone. And that cell phone sends out a pulse periodically, and it happens to a lot of people in their minds. It can happen even when the phone is off. So the only way to effectively make sure that this doesn't happen is to actually remove the battery when you're not using your cell phone. Now, this came to light with those stranded hikers on, I think it was Mount Hood. The guy had made a call and whatnot. And anyway, at a later point, they said that they had got a ping off his cell phone. That's what they were referring to. So these things all take a lot of work and a lot of effort to make happen. What I'm saying to you is this, my friends, is that every time they make some sort of technological innovation, some sort of leap forward, okay, all that means is we have a better chance of surviving. The more they rely on technology, the more we have hope, okay? Because you think about it, and I've said this before to my morning listenership, if you had any comprehension of the kind of hoops that we have to jump through here to make this show happen, I mean, we're talking about the stars have to line up right, you know, everything has to be working. It's really, it's an exponential amount of technology to make this show happen, okay? With different things connecting, different hookups need to be required and all sorts of things. It's just a mess. And I'll tell you, very rarely does that work with any sort of regularity. So that means that the more they rely on these types of things, the more you're going to see the counterfeiters and the smugglers and the people out there who know how to, you know, electrical engineers, people who know how to foil all these systems. These people are going to be our new heroes, okay, in a collapsed society, because they're going to be invisible, in essence. And those are good people to know. Stay with us, my friends. Back with more news and more Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
8822. Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You're listening to Thursday evening's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio, at least for another 35 minutes, then it becomes Friday morning's edition. So we just talked about these Canadian coins with tracking chips in them, and they talked specifically, again, a security consultant, specifically saying that basically RFIDs in currency could be used to target someone for assassination or kidnapping. Now, this is an important point. On a number of different levels, obviously, just looking at it in terms of the surveillance society in which we live, it's a scary, scary world, if you let it be. But then again, you know, I just have hope and faith that these things won't work out the way they would like them to. This is an interesting story. Maybe you saw, maybe did not. Came out on Tuesday. Reuters had it. A U.S. government agency is considering using unmanned surveillance planes or drones to help oversee remote areas of eastern Idaho, raising concerns in a region deeply wary of outside interference. Unmanned aerial drones, now those, they haven't been flying with any sort of regularity, but they do have them here in the United States. Now, supposedly they'll be used for the border, which most Americans would welcome. They'd say, hey, this is a great thing. We need these things in the air. This will protect our country from this invasion of illegal immigrants. But again, once you open the door, like that. Have no fear. You know, it will be expanded to include you as well. You can say, hey, look, I don't want no stinking RFID embedded in my forehead or under my hand. Not me, but the illegals, they should have them. If they get caught, they should be tagged before they come back to court. Because when they get released, they just tend to disappear. Or if you're coming here on a green card or something like that, you know, whatever it is, some sort of work program here in the United States, even if it's from abroad, from any other country, and you have the potential to try to, you know, stay underground and stay in this country illegally, well, you should have an RFID chip in your passport or something. You know, I mean, anyway, whatever reason we rationalize to do these things to further swing the door open on infringement of civil liberties and privacy, make no mistake, it will be used against us as well. Because we'll say, oh, yes, well, illegals should be tagged. Foreigners should be tagged. Sex offenders should be tagged. Murderers should be tagged. All these people should be tagged, but not me. Well, things change, and they change quick, unfortunately. So don't be too excited about things like that. So, again, having these unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, here in this country, presumably for border security, most people would welcome it. But again, now they're talking about flying them over eastern Idaho, okay, to oversee remote areas. What does that mean, right? It says, raising concerns in a region deeply wary of outside interference, implying that the people are crazy backwoods hicks, they're suspicious of everything. That's kind of what it sounds like, right? I mean, we know that's not the case, but that's how they're portraying it in the story. Officials at the Bureau of Land Management Office responsible for most of eastern Idaho may initially buy one hand-launched drone for an estimated $15,000 to help keep track of the vast, thinly populated area. They said the unpiloted aircraft with a wingspan of about 4 feet would monitor vegetation and streams in areas used largely for grazing and recreation, and there were no immediate plans to use them for law enforcement. No immediate plans. But once they shell out $15,000, you don't think they're going to try to make money on that thing? Hey, we caught so-and-so doing this. That's a fine of $100, and we keep doing that, and hey, we'll make our money back in no time. They're going to monitor streams and vegetation. Does anybody buy that? Said Wayne Butts, a member of the county commission in Custer County, where 96% of the land is publicly owned. He said, quote, it would be like the environmentalists sneaking up on you. They may be taking pictures of a plant or two, but where does it stop? Do we have to grab our pitchforks and our guns? End quote. Well, that doesn't exactly make them sound less backwoods, does it? Melody Baker, whose family had ranched for six generations among the Sage Flats and Alpine Canyons near Idaho's East Fork Salmon River, said she's afraid the data collected by the drones, quote, would be used the wrong way, saying, quote, every time the government comes up with something that's supposedly helpful, it ends up causing problems and is detrimental to ranchers, end quote. She's exactly right. So these are good points that locals are saying that they're not happy about this. Now, conservationists, it says, applaud the idea, saying there would be a greater oversight of federal grazing and other leases. I remember watching, I think it was the O'Reilly Factor a few years ago. Ann Coulter, I believe, was on, and she had made a comment about crazy militia-type people, or whatever she called them, patriot people, in Idaho. And Bill O'Reilly's like, yeah, we know about that. Now, the next guest was Sean Astin, I guess is how you pronounce it, who was in Lord of the Rings and had written a book about his experiences there filming this series of movies, which are fantastic, by the way, filming them for like 5-6 years, I know it was a long time, throughout the whole, you know, he wasn't there the whole time, but it was about his experiences. Anyway, he made a comment about, you know, family that used to live in Idaho, too, and he confirmed that, you know, oh, yeah, they're really passionate up there in Idaho, something like that. I mean, he was kind about it. But the point is that everybody knows that Idaho is like a place with a bunch of freedom-loving people. Okay, everybody knows. It's talked about in common, you know, conversation on talk shows. Everybody knows that's where the patriots are. So, you know, people in Idaho, you maybe should start thinking about changing scenery, perhaps. It just seems to, it's a bad thing. You know, it's just like anything else. Let's take everybody who's concerned about freedom and put them all in one place. Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen. Extra surveillance, extra military presence, police presence. Maybe they'll throw a base up. Who knows, right? It's a time, my friends, for, again, strong individuals to rise up and be strong, not strong collectives. strong collectives are, unfortunately, not as strong as they'd like to be, because people are tend to be all in the same place with all their stuff in the same place. And, you know, anyway, just goes on and on. But you know what I'm talking about. Stay with us. Back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. It's not morning. I really got to work on that. All right. Thursday night, and you're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I feel bad. I feel like I should have that down at this point. But 7 years, my friends, of doing morning radio. You have to forgive me a little bit. Give me a little slack. All right. So here we are Thursday evening, and I welcome you all to the show. So we talked about the unmanned aerial drones there in Idaho. That's a problem for me. Speaking of weird things in the sky, there's a comet that should be easily seen, from what I understand, at sunrise or sunset here, and I guess most places. Anyway, you can take a look for it and see what you can see. But this has some bearing on something else that we had discussed. In this day and age, okay, we've talked about this before. In 2006, the end of 2006, as they do every year, they conduct polls. You know, what do you think, what are you expecting in the new year? There were two very disparate polls. One said Americans are optimistic. The other one said that Americans see doom and gloom. Whatever doom and gloom might be, it is what it is. But one of those surveys, and I don't remember if it was the optimistic one or the doom and gloom one, most likely the latter, said that the 25% of people polled thought that that Jesus would return here in 2007, that the end of the world basically would be happening. So, like I said, it depends on who you ask. I don't know. I guess some people would see that as a good thing. Some people would see it as a bad thing. To me, it's a thing. But it's very interesting. I've never seen that question even asked by a pollster before. Certainly wouldn't have expected that kind of response, but there it was. So what does that mean? Well, you know, looking at things around the world, we got a lot of stuff to pay attention to. You've got, obviously, very bizarre weather, okay? The sun is acting up. Chemtrails, HAARP. You got birds dying in Austin, birds dying in Australia to the point where there are no birds left in that area, which is very bizarre. And this could be, of course, man-made and all these other things. But that doesn't mean that it's not prophetic. You know, when Jesus had spoken of, you know, look for the signs and wonders, you know, things like that, signs of the age, whatever the exact terminology was, it escapes me. But you know, that's not to say that these things aren't necessarily divinely inspired. Much like a lot of people say, well, you know, the earth was created and it was created by God. He just blinked it into existence. Other people say, oh, you know, it was like the Big Bang Theory. My question has always been, why do they have to be mutually exclusive? Why could not the earth have been created from the Big Bang because God said, let's make it happen? It's like a giant Rube Goldberg machine. Sets the Big Bang into motion, knowing full well what's going to happen. Anyway, it's a moot point, but I'm just kind of saying that the prophetic nature of the Bible is important on a lot of different levels, because you've got certain things that are supposed to happen. Certain people pay attention to them, certain ones do not. Well, we have a president, George W. Bush, who had contacted the Jack Van Impe Ministries through Condoleezza Rice to ask for a timeline of end time events. And this was way back. This is like 2002, I think it was, maybe 2003. So he had asked for that. Now, why would that be? And again, a couple of theories. Maybe he's like, I'm the president. Surely I'll get an answer, right? I mean, it's kind of like saying, hey, you know, I was in a movie. Can I get a better table at this restaurant? Whatever the case may be, you're using your status, your celebrity for personal gain or for the acquisition of information, perhaps. So maybe he's just curious. Then again, maybe George W. Bush is trying to stop the end time, stop the end of the world, stop the apocalypse, or maybe he is trying to facilitate it. I think those are three very good possibilities. I can't think of another possibility that doesn't fit into one of those categories in some fashion. So that happens. And then you start looking at this evangelical groups and their numbers swelling, and I think they're somewhere around 90 million, to the point where they've got a movie studio opening up, and they'll be catering to them specifically, where you've got a great many other things happening too, and of course a fall from grace with Ted Haggard and other incidents like that. What I'm saying altogether is that a lot of people are very concerned about and very observant about what is happening. They're looking for signs, looking for the signs and wonders. So, if you are the powers that be, those who seek to facilitate this one world currency, one world religion, and one world government, and you have the power to do so, would you not perhaps attempt to cause those events to happen? I'm not saying cause, like, you know, do evil ceremonies and whatnot, although I'm sure they do that too. I'm saying, like, use science and technology to facilitate things that would match up with prophecy in order to deceive people. I think that's very possible. Now, taking it a step further, what's to say that God didn't know that, right? He says, oh, watch for a massive earthquake. And then you've got, you know, scientists who just tinker around with stuff going, I wonder what would happen if we push this button. So scientists are tinkering around with something, and maybe they're trying to come up with some new weapon, and it blows up and causes a huge earthquake around the whole planet. Trying to tell me God didn't know that would happen, and it doesn't count in prophecy because, you know, it has to be an earthquake that God sent. Let's say God didn't send it through those people. See, it's just looking at things in that fashion. But again, back to the survey. So you've got a bunch of people thinking that this is going to be the end of the world, and it very well could be. Who knows? 2007, maybe. in conjunction with that survey, in conjunction with the fact that, that Bush seems to be very much aware, at least, of end times, tribulation, sort of apocalyptic type events, well, then you've got the president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, or however you pronounce it. For you purists out there, I'm not from Iran. So, if he wants to call into the show and correct me, then he's more than welcome to do so. 800-313-9443. What I'm saying, though, is that this guy has been portrayed by Western media sources as being a wacko. The guy's a, he's his own, like, obsessive, compulsive, end times type of guy. That he is, he, you know, supposedly spoke to the UN the one time and people saw a glow around him, and he was talking about, in another speech, talking about the Mahdi. All right, the 12th Imam will be returning. Now, at the beginning of 2007, state-run websites in Iran had posted a prophecy that this Mahdi would be returning here in 2007, in spring, at spring equinox, and that he would be returning and he would wage war against his enemies, and his lieutenant would be Jesus. So Jesus, they think of Jesus as a prophet, but they said Jesus would be the lieutenant. So obviously that's going to really irk a lot of Christians that their boy is number two to some Islam guy. So what you've got is the story about this. Now, another source I had seen was talking about all of this stuff, saying what a significant time this is, 2007. That this was, 60 years since the creation of Israel? 1947, I believe. So that could be, perhaps in some circles, the very definition of the length of time a generation typically lives, a generation being 60 years, and that this generation will not pass before these things come to pass, or whatever. Again, this is the Son of God. I'm not going to misquote him or even attempt to do so. So Jesus had talked about that. So they're saying that, hey, look, since this is 2007, 60 years earlier, was 1947, the creation of the State of Israel, that generation, if you factor it in, that generation is 60 years, then it has to happen this year anyway. They were sort of prophesying that. And what they said is that in the Quran, this Mahdi, this 12th Imam, will reign for 7 years. And they were saying basically that the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, will be the Antichrist, which is very interesting, because that reminded me, was thinking of the Antichrist as not being Bill Clinton was a shocker for me, because I'm pretty sure he's the Antichrist. I'm joking, of course, but I mean, the guy's just, he just drips charisma. I don't like Bill Clinton, for the record, but I would say he's probably one of the most charismatic people I've ever seen. And you'd think that the Antichrist would be pretty much loaded down with all the things that would be desirable in life, if only to make him more attractive to people. So I don't know, for some reason people like Bill. I don't. So aside from that, as I get back on track here, Bill Clinton, according to this place, this media source, not the Antichrist, but that this Mahdi would be. And that reminded me, so thinking of the Antichrist as being a Muslim, you know, a lot of people think automatically Osama bin Laden. I don't know. I don't think it really matters who it is at this point. But it reminded me of this movie I had seen. And if you've not seen it, it's worth a look. I mean, a lot of it is outdated, and a lot of the projections are simply that. They're attempting to take prophecies and interpret them. It's called The Man Who Saw Tomorrow. Came out in the early 80s. It was narrated by Orson Welles, and it was about the prophecies of Nostradamus. Now, what's interesting about that is this writing of his, Century 2, Quatrain 62, which says this: Mabus then will soon die. There will come of people and beasts a horrible rout. Then suddenly one will see vengeance, hundred hand, thirst, hunger, when the comet will run. Now, it's been suggested that Mabus is actually Saddam, backwards, which I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but it's possible, in which case he did just die. So a horrible rout of people and beasts. We got birds obviously falling down and out of the sky, dying, various places, different types of birds for no apparent reason. We may see, of course, we did see quite a drought in the summer. We might see more horrific weather, which would play havoc with the food supply. And then it says, hundred hand, I don't know what that means, thirst and hunger when the comet will run. Well, of course, water problems and food problems, so that might gel with that. Anyway, when the comet will run is what made me think of this, because there's a comet outside. not right at this exact moment, not where I am anyway, but maybe where you are. Here's the story about it. And it says, from the Daily Mail today, out of the UK, it says, this is the spectacular view of the brightest comet for 32 years, and there's a picture of it, that's why they said this. And suitably for a phenomenon once seen as a portent of doom, it was spotted over World's End. Comet McNaught, which is set to shine brighter than the planet Venus this weekend, was caught on camera at sunset when it is at its best. The newly discovered comet, first observed in Australia last August, is three times more dazzling than Hale-Bopp in 1997. It is officially the brightest comet since 1975. So it's the brightest comet for over 32 years. Very, very interesting. Now, a lot of people, again, in that Man Who Saw Tomorrow film, I think they were trying to fit that when the comet runs and tie that into Halley's Comet, which was what? What was that? 80-something? 84? 85? I don't remember. But this story goes on. It says, tomorrow the star will sweep 15.8 million miles of the sun and continue glowing until Monday. Now, I don't know why they call it a star, but nevertheless. It says, it is visible to the right of Venus soon after sunset and also in the dawn sky to the southeast. Said Nick James of the British Astronomical Association, quote, make an effort even if the weather prospects look poor. You will need a clear western horizon. It should start looking as soon as the sun sets. The comet should be obvious and the tail will be pointing almost straight up from the horizon, end quote. Scotsman Robert McNaught discovered the comet, his 31st discovery, at Siding Spring Observatory in New South Wales. Its orbit is bringing it closer to the sun than Mercury. So it's going to be so close that according to another story, which is at redorbit.com, they're saying this thing is a magnitude of 0 to negative 1. Now, how that works, negative magnitudes, it says, are reserved for the most brilliant objects. The brightest star is Sirius, which is the North Star. That's negative 1.4. The full moon is negative 12.7. The sun is negative 26.7. So they're expecting this to probably be negative 3. So the northern star is negative 1. They're expecting this to be negative 3. So it's going to be brighter than the northern star, which means that, in essence, you'll have probably pretty much the brightest thing in the sky at night, other than the moon, will be the comet. So it should be fairly easy to see. Now, if you want to look at it, it says instructions for viewing the comet in the morning from spaceweather.com. Here's what they say. At dawn, go out and face east. Using binoculars, scan the horizon. The comet is located just south of due east. Now, instructions for viewing the comet in the evening from spaceweather.com say, at sunset, go outside and face west. Using binoculars, scan the horizon. The comet is located low and to the right of Venus. A clear view of the horizon is essential. You have to be able to see the horizon. But at night, look west. Okay, at sunset, look west. And before sunrise, look east, if you want to see this. Now, this is just, again, something to pay attention to. But anyway, we were talking about goofy things flying around in the sky over Idaho. I thought we'd talk about goofy things flying around in the sky over the whole planet. Back to this, I think it's Mabus.biz. So Mabus is supposed to be the precursor to the Antichrist, and they have it's the Nostradamus Mabus project. They're trying to figure out who the Antichrist is going to be. Good luck. It'd be a heck of a bet, although you'd have to be around to win it, I suppose, and I don't know how much anyone would want that. But further, quatrains that they had on their website, which are very interesting, is Century 8, Quatrain 77, says the following. The Antichrist very soon annihilates the three. 27 years his war will last. The unbelievers are dead, captive, and exiled, with blood, human bodies, water, and red hail covering the earth. So very much like Revelation, perhaps. This is Century 9, Quatrain 100, and that says, quote, naval battle, night will be overcome. Fire in the ships to the west ruin. New trick, the great ship colored. Anger to the vanquished and victory in a drizzle. Now, oh, good luck, right? How can you interpret any of that stuff? It's just, it's way over my head. But again, naval battle. This is intriguing because obviously there's been a lot of naval exercises. The U.S. had sent a carrier strike group on a tour of, I think they called it, Countries We Plan on Invading, 2006 tour. All right, I made that up, but you know, when they start making passes through Venezuelan waters and things like that, it makes you wonder. And, of course, there were naval exercises conducted near North Korea and China, obviously. There are strike groups heading into the Middle East for the forthcoming war with Iran. which, in my humble opinion, and that's all it is a virtual certainty. So looking at naval battles and that possibly coming down, it's a very interesting time to be alive, folks. Very interesting time. Now, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. It's just a thing, like I said. You are here at the time that God has appointed for you to be here for the purpose that he has in mind for you. Maybe you don't know what that is. Maybe it's something small in your mind. Maybe it's something huge in his mind. We just don't know. But the point is that you're here for a purpose, and there's nothing to be afraid of with all this stuff. I'm not one of those people who prays for the apocalypse. I don't want to see billions of people wiped out on the planet. I don't want to see the horrific suffering that's mentioned in Scripture, but if it's God's will, it'll happen that way. But anyway, just an interesting collection of sources. I like to look for patterns in the news, and when I see Bush's actions requesting information on this stuff, when I see the president of Iran begging for the return of this 12th Imam, when I see Iranian state media websites predicting it'll happen this year, Pat Robertson predicting an attack on a U.S. city sometime after September, which, you know, gels with some of the other stuff as well. When I see this Christian news source basically saying that the Mahdi will be the Antichrist, and then, of course, Nostradamus' prophecies and a comet outside, well, you know, it's, there's enough tidbits of information to make me say, well, maybe we should look at it. So it is what it is. Take it for what it's worth. Folks, we're going to take a short break here for about 3 minutes. We'll come back, try to squeeze in some calls before our guest joins us. Please stick around. More Frankly Speaking Radio when we return.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
baby. You just a final.
Welcome back, folks. Tail end of our first hour here. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whale. I'm glad you're aboard with us here this evening. We'll try to squeeze in some calls before our guest joins us. Let's go to Don in Ohio. Don, welcome to the show. Hello, Don.
Yeah, I'm here now.
All right, welcome.
Okay. I'm sorry, I got the echo. I listen to your show all the time in the morning, in the back when.
Yes.
And, you know, oh, I'm sorry. I really got to shut the damn thing off. I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Is that right? I don't know how much it was affecting you, but it was killing my ear. You know me from the past, right?
Sure.
And we do bring up, you know, pretty good, you know, substantive thoughts. I mean, we do talk about things that really do, you know, bring up a question of what's going on in the world. On your night show, I actually waited so long that I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay.
So I think that maybe, it's your show and stuff like that, but maybe you should bring in more people calling in and stuff like that during the night show that you did in the morning show, just so they don't, you know, lose concentration of what you're
saying,
trying to say.
What you're saying is I should take calls sooner, than, as soon as they come in, so that way you don't forget what you were going to say.
Well, I'm not sitting at my computer. Sitting at my computer right now, so okay. I can't make notes.
Right.
If I was, that'd be fine. But right now, I mean, I had some good points to make, but you know, at your later show and stuff like that, you know, it seems like it takes longer to get in.
Did you listen to the whole show when it was on the mornings?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you know that we would do 2 solid hours of news, usually, right?
I was there.
Okay, so you know that if I take the first hour and I do, I don't know, 40 minutes of news, that's really not too long, is it?
Excuse me? Sorry.
I said if I take 40 minutes and do news, that's really not too long, is it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the factor was that we can call in, and we actually got in, and, you know, it still was an open line.
It is an open line.
I know, but, you know, it was more of an open line then than it is now.
This is our, what is this, our fourth show? Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry you're unhappy with the wait.
No, I'm not. I mean, hey, bud. I mean, you know, I like your show.
Thank you. And I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad you called in.
I would like to make RBN, you know, more, you know. I did have a good point to make, but I forgot it. You know, that's the point I was trying to make because I did wait.
Yeah, no, and I understand that. But, you know, I can't really assume so-and-so's got a point to make. And, yeah, are you going to actually have something to say? I mean.
I will try to.
Okay, all right, because we've got a bunch of people who probably are saying, well, I wish Don would get to his point because I would like to say some things before the guest comes on. I can't help the time change, my friend. But you know, this show is more caller intensive, and we take more calls on nights than we ever did in the mornings. And I can promise you that.